Hey everybody, welcome to the show. My name is Javier Augusto, a wannabe philosopher and longtime wrestling fan. I gave up on it for a bit, but I'm back with my co-host, Adelaide Laurie.
Hello everyone, happy to be here. I am a wannabe writer with two books under my belt and a very casual wrestling fan. I wouldn't even say wrestling fan. I would more say AEW fan because I like what I like.
And that is why this is
We Like What We Like.
Now, it is our very first episode.
Welcome.
Yeah. This is Friday. We are going to do Rampage. We're going to do the whole show?
Yes, the whole show.
Okay.
It's an hour, so I think we can test it out with the three matches that they have.
Okay, yeah. Usually three matches, so that shouldn't be a problem. Now, in this segment, what we think we're going to do most often right before our show is we're going to talk a little bit about what we liked during the week. What Adelaide liked, what I liked during the week.
Yes.
Especially in wrestling, not like the world or anything like that. We're not going to get political or religious.
Not political, but it could be anything else because we like what we like and that's they true. Might like what we like too.
Let's hope there's a way.
I hope so.
Okay. All right. Well, there's something we can't avoid, right? Normally, we could talk about a multitude of subjects.
Yes.
But it is Friday, and Dark Side of the Ring came out yesterday.
Yeah.
That is correct. This particular Dark Side of the Ring is not one of the uplifting ones.
No, it's particularly dark. It is.
Right. It's the plane ride from hell. This is the old WWF thing, right? So this is a piece of lore that's been with us forever. And we'll talk about that in the next segment. But I guess before we do that,
we should introduce ourselves.
Oh, okay.
You think?
Yeah, no, that's definitely a way to go. My name is Javier Augusto, and I've said it many times before. I'm nobody, but I do enjoy wrestling. And I have opinions on it. Mostly I like philosophy and the interaction between the story and the wrestlers.
I am Adelaide Laurie, and I am was a closeted WWE watcher. I'm not even sure I can consider myself a fan. I watched back in the early 2000s, late 1990s with The Rock and Stone Cold and Mankind and DX. And it was a short-lived run of about, I'd say, 2 years of watching. And then I stopped. And then AEW came around, and I started watching again because I enjoy the stories. I am an author, so it intrigues me.
See, she whispered author, but really she has two books. She's kind of proud of herself.
Two books that family and friends have read. Hey, you're welcome to read it too, by all means.
By all means.
If you want to,
We'll put the links down in the description. However,
if we figure out how to do that.
Yeah, we don't know how to do anything.
No. We'll get better.
Okay, so I guess I'll give you my quick rundown. I've been watching wrestling since I was a kid in Puerto Rico. I grew up with Caribbean lucha, and then I was watching Mexican lucha. And then I got into WWE, which was WWF at the time, you know, and I got into all of that. Then I realized that I loved masked wrestling and I grew up with that. I loved all of that high flying stuff. The guys didn't have to be huge for me. The huge guys were always the heels in Puerto Rico. So that's how you grow up. So shout out to anybody who remembers the Killer Bees. They were a tag team.
Which is not me.
Nobody does.
And this is a running thing. You will hear me ask Javier or I will flub a name because I am awful at the names of the wrestlers. Not all of them, just some of them. And
the moves.
Oh, I don't know the moves at all. let's be real. I'm going to be honest with you guys.
Guys,
I know nothing.
We're going to let you know. This is our first episode. We're doing multiple segments. So there might be some tonal changes or mood changes in the middle of it. How we interact with things. We're going to figure ourselves out. Just give us an idea of what you like.
Yes.
Because we're going to do what we like. Because this is
We Like What We Like. So we're going to jump into the plane ride from hell and then go from there.
Yeah, that's definitely what we're going to do.
Okay.
So what we've learned about this particular plane ride coming back from Europe in the early 2000s.
Yep.
Yeah. Right before they got the F out.
Ah, funny. We went from WWF to WWE.
Right. We got a little bit more. We got the Ruthless Aggression era right after this. And we got, you know, PG, where we are now with WWE.
So the point is, at this particular moment in time, the WWF at that time, WWE, was very, very successful and extremely wealthy. So they had a plane that was chartered for them. So it was a private plane, no other people other than the WWE wrestlers, a referee or two, and Vince McMahon and his wife, and JR.
Yes, JR, road agent Michael P.S. Hayes of the Fabulous Freebirds.
Right.
Who I never really liked, but after hearing about this, he's the kind of guy I would have kicked continuously until he fell asleep.
I don't know most of these people, to be honest with you. No, that's not true. I knew them on the show, but I didn't know the backstories. I didn't really care to know.
Well, yeah, no, you lived kayfabe. You liked your kayfabe life. You were a mark. You liked it the way that it was.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you right now, during that period of time, I had just gotten past my mark phase. So I no longer believed that an undead wizard really wanted to be a wrestler.
To be honest, when this plane ride happened, it was mostly, I had mostly stopped watching. That was the end of my watching time frame.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is the period of time where Shawn Michaels... So this is the period of time where, you know, you've got your big names, you've got your Shawn Michaels, and but people are coming back because they just bought WCW.
Right.
So you've got Kurt Hennig is on this plane. He's now back, Mr. Perfect, for those people who remember that gimmick. And then you've got a young, no chest tattoo having Brock Lesnar. You have Gold Dust and the former Mrs. Dust.
Yeah.
Terry Reynolds.
I personally feel like if you want to know the story, you should really, really watch Dark Side of the Ring. It's an excellent, excellent program on Vice here in the United States. I don't know what you watch it on in other countries, but...
Wow, we're optimistic that people are going to listen to this from other countries.
I'm just saying you never know, so I want to address everybody. So anyways, I don't think we're going to go too much into it. I think really we're just going to give our opinions about what we think about it. If anyone cares, which most right now, probably no one does.
Not in our podcast, no. Nobody cares.
No. So we're going to keep it nice and short, and then we're going to move on to the action for Rampage tonight. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, quick and dirty. I've always been a Ric Flair fan. I was a big Four Horsemen fan. Grew up with them. Grew up with the old catchphrases, whether you like it or you don't, you better learn to love it because they're the best thing going today. Woo! Honestly, just the greatest stuff in the world. Ric Flair is kind of a tool.
Well, I mean, everybody was on drugs. Again, everybody was drinking. Watch the show, you'll see. I think most of what my problem is with what's out there in social media right now is they're looking at it and going, oh my gosh, you were terrible and you did this and you're a bad person. And I don't know if it's a fair lens to look at it through at this point. Yes, I think that what Ric Flair did was despicable and really, I don't agree with it at all. I don't agree with nobody sticking up for the flight attendant who was harassed by him. But I think my takeaway...
Whoa. Except for Dustin Rhodes.
Except for Dustin Rhodes, correct.
Yeah, give a shout out to the natural.
Was drunk and most likely, I can't say for sure, so my opinion, I think from what I got from the show, was probably on some drugs at the time. Still knew enough that the flight attendant was uncomfortable and that Ric Flair was out of line. So he stepped in. But ultimately, my takeaway from this is If I ever do hear from Ric Flair, I want to hear that, you know, he is apologetic for how he behaved and that that wasn't who he was. But the proof of the pudding and really what bothered me was, unfortunately, Tommy Dreamer, which, FYI, didn't know who he was. But coming off in 2021 and defending what Ric Flair was doing. So that's really my takeaway from this.
Well, Tommy Dreamer, I think that he summed it up best at how far behind the times he is. And he's not the only one. There's other wrestlers, sort of like Disco Inferno, who you probably don't know who that is.
I don't.
That have just these backwards logic takes on the way things are and the way things were. So I think the best phrase for what Tommy Dreamer said, and I am totally paraphrasing because I'm not going to do a sound bite by sound bite correct rendition. Tommy Dreamer said that people can be offended by what Ric Flair did back then, and people are offended right now by him having two ponytails. He likened sexual assault. Okay, we use that phrase and people get really, really touchy about it. Let me go ahead and be clear.
As they should.
Let me be clear. Anytime you violate another person's personal space or their rights by pressing your genitalia anywhere near them, it's assault.
For sure.
I know that I have been a kid in college and I have done some stupid things. But let's not think that for one second I'll ever say, well, you know, it's because I was a kid. No, I didn't do that. So therefore, sorry, Rick, I don't know you. Actually, we've met a few times. You'll never remember me. But you're a great wrestler, but without some contrition, you're kind of, your tool status is still high.
Yeah.
Now, Tommy Dreamer is ass backwards on this and is absolutely outside of the lines where he thinks you can defend something by, well, that's the way it was back then, and you have to let that go. Tommy, no. Sorry. Do you mind if I call you Tommy? No. Don't do that.
And the thing is, it's so interesting that we look back to the early 2000s and we're, you know, like, oh, that's how things were back then, as if we were in the dark ages. At that point, we were calling flight attendants who were female flight attendants and no longer stewardesses. So we were so, you know, intellectually
enlightened
yeah, that we knew not to call them stewardess. You didn't call waiters and waitresses anymore. They were your servers. We considered ourselves very enlightened. So to look back 20 years ago, yeah, but those were the times. It was still unacceptable back then. And we knew better back then. Period.
And a 40-year-old guy didn't need to be shoving his genitalia in some 20-something-year-old's face.
Correct.
That's not okay. No matter how impressive people say Ric Flair was.
That's not the point.
That's definitely not the point.
Anyways, that's our two cents.
Yeah. This one, I'm going to tell you, Dark Side of the Ring, we get some really good moments out of it when we watch it. But this one, I did not like. I liked Tommy Dreamer just fine going into it. Coming out of it, sorry, Tommy, you are not on my good books anymore.
So generally, before we do our little podcast, we're going to talk about things that we like for the week or the month or whatever.
Yeah, that's the idea.
Because this is We Like What We Like.
We do.
It should be a shorter segment than this, but it will be a segment. And then we will go into what we liked about AEW's Most Likely Dynamite episodes every week.
Yes, that's the idea.
So, usually they should, barring any illness or misfortune, be out on Thursdays.
Yeah. So, now we've given you the rundown on that. Sorry if we got a little sanctimonious. We won't do that when we're talking about wrestling, we hope.
I make no promises.
All right, well, we'll see you after the first segment. Wow.
Wow. Wow.
Wow. All right.
That was crazy.
Okay, I'm going to try and not mark out real fast.
No, mark out, man, because that's the match you mark out for.
All right, so the very first match, Rampage 20 September 17th, Friday. Everybody knows what day it is. I've lost my mind.
It's the Butcher and the Blade and Penta and Phoenix, the Lucha Brothers.
Right, so Butcher and the Blade with everybody. I mean, the Bunny came to the ring. Matt Hardy comes to the ring. Private Party's waiting in the wings.
The guy that's always with Penta. And
oh, Alex Abrahantes.
There you go, that guy.
Yeah, Mr. Penta says.
I have to first start out and give props, and hopefully I won't say this too often, but when the Bunny comes out and her little crazy stare that she does, amazing. Chef's kiss, as the kids say nowadays.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Because we know what the kids say.
I do. I'm up on it.
All right. So it was a great match. I mean, we can talk about just the general feeling of it. My first general feeling was that the total match was magnificent.
I think it's amazing. I thought it was funny that they brought up that the Butcher and the Blade looked like they just came out of a bar. Because in my head, when I was watching them, I'm like, you know what's weird about the Butcher and the Blade is they look like two men that have just like were in some, you know, bar somewhere in the middle of nowhere just drinking it up and having a good time with their motorcycle buddies. That's what they are. And then, you know, they're all amazing in the ring. They're smooth. They're big guys that are smooth, and it's so fun to watch them flippy.
Right.
And they're like 20 feet tall.
Okay, so exaggerated.
Whatever.
Love your exaggeration. All right, so I'm not going to ask you what you thought because we both got caught off by the end of the match.
Yeah.
But we're going to do a couple of the parts of the match right now.
I was shooketh.
The match starts great. I mean, you've got your normal high-flying. Phoenix always starts the match. He's up against the Blade. They know each other really well from when they were sort of part of that group with Eddie Kingston. So they know each other pretty well. And the Blade's actually countering Phoenix on his ground wrestling stuff. You know, with stand-up wrestling. Not the stuff off the top rope, but he doesn't let him get there, which I think is fantastic.
That's a good counter move to him getting on the top rope.
Oh, yeah. It's a great counter move to get to the top rope. Then we've got the Butcher comes in because the Blade's, you know, sort of zero sum against Phoenix. He does a really good job of just sort of grounding Phoenix. And then Penta comes in and he grounds Penta. And he really gets most of the match.
Yeah, for
sure. Butcher got most of the match. Yeah. He got all of, I'm sorry, I'm going to say 60% of the match, just him. And then one of my favorite things on a big man is when a big man does a crossbody. I said that to Adelaide earlier, but I absolutely love it when a big man does a crossbody.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's a simple move, but on a big guy, it looks like something that shuts the momentum down in a match.
Well, it's all the moves that they do as big guys. Like, Penta is big. He's a big dude.
He's about 6 foot, 6 foot, and, 6 foot one.
And to do those flips, the double flips, and get them on their back, and I like cringe because I'm thinking, oh my God, somebody's going to break their neck doing that, which is what they want.
Right.
So well done. But they're amazing. They're all very, very good wrestlers. So this is an entertaining match.
Okay, let's sum this one up. Penta did some really interesting moves, but we're going to come to his most important thing that he did in a little bit. I'll let Adelaide do that one.
Uh-oh.
But Phoenix does a backflip, I'm sorry, a moonsault from the top turnbuckle onto the Blade's back to set up a German suplex, which he hits. It's amazing wrestling. We've seen them dive to the outside. They did a double dive. They do that stuff great. But every match that I see with the Lucha Brothers, I get one new innovative thing, and I think it's fantastic. Go ahead, Adelaide. You know the part I'm talking about.
I have no clue what you're talking about.
Of course not.
I don't.
Penta, end of the match.
Oh, the mask. Well, Penta's mask gets tied up by, I forget who, I think it was Butcher, or the Blade. So he ties up the little strings that are on the top that's part of the Joker mask. And so he's stuck on the ropes. And in order to save Phoenix, who's out there getting his butt kicked by both the Butcher and the Blade, he unties the mask from his face, shooketh, and hides his face, but still helps his friend and
brother,
right? Sorry, yeah. And wow, just wow. Like I, if you could see me, I covered my whole mouth with my hands.
Because we, and Adelaide, again, she's a casual fan, but over the last few months has very much understood the mask is important. The mask matters. She was a Rey Mysterio watcher. And she is aware that the mask matters. It's a big deal when the mask is on or off or someone pulls at it. And they at AEW have done a very good job. And Penta, I mean, that was a spot.
So Phoenix wins. And so Penta's on the ground, covering his face with his hands. Alex gets the mask off the ropes, throws it at Penta. In the meanwhile, Private Party comes down. And they start attacking Penta, who can't defend because he's still hiding his face, poor guy. And then out of nowhere, and I love this,
Proud and powerful Santana and Ortiz.
Right. They come down to help, well, essentially their nemesis. Yeah. And they weren't they're not like same team. I just love the
well, they've got history.
Getting together going,
They've got history at Lucha Underground, which is a show that lasted not very long, and they had history and Impact. So these guys have wrestled each other all over, and they've done a very good job. And honestly,
but in AEW, they are not together.
No, not at all. No.
They're not like, oh, those are our brothers. We gotta go out there and help. They just were like, no, we're not okay with this. And I love that. I'm such a dork for that kind of stuff.
She marks out for the storylines, guys. See you after the next segment.
I am a writer.
She is a writer. That's true. All right. We'll see you after the next segment.
All right. So now we have the women's match of the night.
Yeah. So the women got their time.
I thought it was really good. I can't stress enough how much I really do love the bunny. I love what she does in the ring. I love when she does out of the ring, her stares, her craziness. I just think the whole package is very, very
good. She's a very good heel. She's a very good heel. I'm a little disappointed because I'm sorry. We did it wrong again.
What did we do?
We're supposed to tell them what match happened. It's the women's match. Yes, but it was the bunny accompanied by Penelope Ford versus Anna Jay accompanied by Ty Conti. Now, Anna Jay has gotten very good in the ring. She was greener than goose shit when she first started out.
She was young, man.
I mean, she's still young. She's like 22 or something like that. She is a fantastic, fantastic prospect as far as how she's growing.
I think she took the time off to really develop her moves carefully because she was injured. But
she had the shoulder injury.
But,
so,
you know, I think she's getting better and better for sure.
100%.
Yeah.
I believe that the bunny is really just a good foil for a new, an up and coming woman. I mean, yes, the bunny, when they tried to babyface her, was a disaster. She is not a babyface naturally. She is naturally a heel.
Did they really try to babyface her?
I mean, the entire women's division up until this year has been pretty garbage, so...
Sure, I think it's getting better. Yeah. I definitely think she is the touchstone to which...
She really should
The new up-and-comer should... But I do think she deserves her own shot.
Right now she's gatekeeping. She's
yeah.
Excuse me. Right now she's gatekeeping, which is really what the issue is, but I think that there's more there. I definitely think the bunny can wrestle. I mean, I've seen her since Impact. She's solid. She can't really carry the ones that are really green, but she is a very solid hand. I'm not smart enough or in the business enough to say anybody's a good hand. The bunny is good, period. Penelope Ford is coming up. You know, she's getting there. I think the Ty Conti has come a long way. So you got these people that are physically capable in doing these segments, and they're doing a very, very good job right now. I think the storyline isn't really there, but then again, Anna Jay's just coming back. So there's no real storyline needed.
Ultimately, what I liked about it really was it was good wrestling, and I wasn't bored during it. And that's for the women's matches, both for the WWE and AEW. That's a plus. So
yeah, I don't want to be this guy, so I'm gonna say it as lightly as possible. Women's matches are served much better when you get a lot more storyline in them, and you get a lot of good acting because there are very few female wrestlers that make the hits look as real as, say, a Thunder Rosa or...
Well, look, if we treated all matches the same and women's matches were not called women's matches and we expected the same out of every match, we would probably get better matches across the board. Okay. If you second them, then, you know.
Okay, so, you know, too bad that we didn't hold to that promise about not being sanctimonious.
I told you, I made no promises. You lie about that. No, no.
I have lied to you people. I have lied to you.
That Matt Hardy came out and talked to Tony Schiavone for a second at the end
for
of that.
For like 1 second.
Yeah, and was upset and whatever. And there was an Orange Cassidy plant in the
yeah, there was a plant in the audience in the front row. Obviously an up-and-coming wrestler or local talent guy with naturally really lovely hair,
for sure, absolutely,
which was dressed in an Orange Cassidy t-shirt and a blue jean jacket and
sunglasses,
and Matt Hardy pulled him into the ring and beat him up, him and Jack Evans beat him up for a bit,
and Jack Evans shaved half of his head off.
Jack Evans shaved his head. Oh, and Matt Hardy cut off his ponytail.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yes. And then the best music, one of the best songs in all of professional wrestling happened, the Pixies.
Where Is My Mind did play,
yep. And then Orange Cassidy came out and ran them out of the ring. So all in all, a good segment.
Yeah, it's a good segment. You got the babyface standing tall. Oh, you know what? We've disrespected the women's segment.
No, I didn't.
Anna Jay won the match against the Bunny.
With a roll-up.
Yeah, it was a roll-up, but it's the most devastating move in all of sports and entertainment.
It's also the only one I can identify, so if I can name it, it's a problem.
All right, fair enough. Men's segment, the segment afterwards, not the men's segment. The segment afterwards is Matt Hardy. So Matt Hardy family office thing where, you know, it's really setting up the feud with Orange Cassidy, and unfortunately it overshadows things. But it's entertaining because I like the Big Money Matt character.
I think Matt Hardy wants to shave his hair off, so this all just came out of getting a free haircut.
You're saying Matt Hardy's setting up this match to lose the match.
Oh, yeah. He's going to lose. There's no way Orange Cassidy barely has any hair. What is the point of shaving that man's head? Where Matt Hardy has long, I wouldn't say luscious, I would say abused hair, my opinion, because hair is kind of my thing. Not good. So
I thought writing was your thing.
Oh, writing is my thing, you know. But hairs is a close second. Okay. I like good, healthy hair.
You do have nice waves.
I think he just wants a free haircut.
Okay. So Big Money Matt, the wealthy Matt Hardy, who's been wrestling for 30 years, needs a haircut, is what you're saying.
It's kind of like class. If you have it, you don't have to tell people. If he has money, why does he call himself Big Money Matt? I'm just saying. Just a thought.
Okay. Okay, we'll see you guys after the next segment on that note.
Ask and you shall receive is what we got for the next segment, which was Britt Baker and Ruby Soho having a tete-a-tete in the ring, which I have to classify as perfection. Perfection, male, female, don't care, was amazing. The barbs back and forth, the shots fired. I loved every bit of it.
Quick play-by-play. You had Ruby Soho saying that Britt Baker, DMD, was just like any other broad she had ever stepped across the ring from. Entitled, self-centered, and banging some guy in the back.
Baby.
That's good stuff. Britt Baker would not be held back, though. She came after her on her own, stating, you know, you have the audacity to call yourself the runaway, but you didn't run away from anything. You got fired. I'm sorry you could have heard the mic. I'm sorry, a fly fart. That place got quiet, and then everybody collectively went, oh,
and the crowd was in it. Like, everyone was in it. The crowd was Ruby Soho and then DMD, Ruby Soho, DMD. It was awesome.
It was a very good crowd. Awesome. Hot crowd, definitely.
And then the only other thing I'm going to point out was the fun little bit where in the beginning Britt Baker hugged Tony Schiavone, because I think that's long storytelling.
Long form storytelling.
Yeah, because, Adam Cole said, you know, stay away from Britt Baker.
And, fact.
And like, it was a big hug. It wasn't like, hey, how's it going? No, it was a big hug. It was cute.
This is going to...
I want to see where that goes.
Oh, it's going to happen on Dynamite. Yeah, we're going to see that at Arthur Ashe. All right. That segment's done. It was fantastic. They hyped their match properly for... It is for next week on Dynamite.
Yeah.
They really did a great job on that. I honestly, normally in these segments, I can tell you I know who's going to win, who's not. If Ruby wins... which is weird because AEW has not done a title change from a new person coming in, but Ruby Soho doesn't have the stink of WWE on her. So I think she could win and it would be good. But if she doesn't, still a good rivalry match. Good way to start the game.
It's good.
All right. See you after the next match.
Oh, you forgot.
Oh.
We had Mark Henry and...
That's what I'm saying right now. Oh. We have the main event coming up.
Oh, true.
Which is between Miro and Fuego del Sol. We'll see you after this segment. Main event match. Fuego del Sol putting up his new car, or as Excalibur had said earlier in the night, reasonably priced used car, which I've been saying forever because I thought it was hilarious, versus Miro. Let's say that again. Fuego del Sol, 5'0", 100 and nothing pounds, versus Miro.
The Redeemer.
God's favorite champion. I'm sorry, that's awesome. It was a very good match, actually. Fuego del Sol was super creative. Did some moves, did a couple of really interesting kicks. Did a move that I thought a lot of high flyers should do, or a lot of guys that are very quick and agile should do, is if you get your guy grounded, you know, by doing a DDT or a slam or something like that, or a stomp, you immediately do a kip up and then like an enziguri to the head, which is just the coolest thing. And he did. He did a kip up to an enziguri. It looked awesome. He got most of the match. In fact, Miro gave him most of the match. I think most of the match was out of 100%. I think he got like 70% of the match. He got most of the match. Miro did get his.
Yes. I personally, Miro is one of my favorite. I just, I enjoy the Redeemer. Since he's become the Redeemer, I should say that. Anyway, so I think what they do a good job with now is because Miro is so big that he's so good at letting people think that they got the better of him in certain moves, that he's not indestructible. He can be beaten, but you really have to beat him down to keep him down. And I love that. I mean, it got Fuego del Sol over because it was a really, really entertaining, good match between the two of them. And it kept Miro looking like the Redeemer.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's different types of heels, Adelaide. There's, like, the monster heel. You've got this big monster heel. That's your Brock Lesnar's. It's the king of monster heels. And then you have your smarmy heel. That's your MJF. Might be the most talented wrestler in the world, but you won't know because they're going to cheat as much as they can to win. Yeah, that's your old Ted DiBiase gimmick. But Miro is sort of a new hybrid, and I'm not saying he's so different, but he's the nightmare heel. He's the heel. He's Jason Voorhees in a movie. You're going to beat his ass, and he's still going to get back up and hunt you down through the woods.
Yeah.
And that's the part that's great about Miro, in my opinion, right now. Yeah.
So it was mostly Fuego del Sol through the whole match until the end. And Miro wins. But not only does he win, he like sticks the keys to the car down Fuego del Sol's mouth and then puts him in some kind of hold, whatever.
He puts him in the game over, which is his version. It was originally the camel clutch that he did, but now he's converted it. So it's the camel clutch, but then he pulls you back into what can only be considered sort of like a rear naked choke. So it's a very interesting way of doing it. It makes it more unique and it makes it his, which is always a good thing when a guy innovates a move. But
so then Fuego passes out and Sammy Guevara comes out and they do a little taunty action. And so now we know what's going to probably happen next week.
Next week or the week after, yeah. So it seems that if Eddie Kingston and Miro get a rematch, Eddie Kingston is definitely not going to win.
Yeah.
It's kind of a spoiler.
But that's all right.
It's all right. Let me go ahead and say what I liked about the show. Let's get it out of the way right now.
Sure.
I thought that the first match was absolutely the best match of the night. It was the Lucha Brothers versus the Butcher and the Blade. It was absolutely amazing.
It usually is. I think Rampage does that really, really well. They put the best match first instead of at the back end, because it is only an hour long show. You want to pull these people in. So
I don't disagree with you.
So far, that's been
that's the MO.
Yeah,
that's the MO. So they did start out with their best match.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that the women's match, the thing that was in the middle, that's really to give people a little bit of a break in the middle. I honestly don't think was really that much of a break.
I agree.
Because even if you know, you got those 2% of people that got up and did the, and I hate to say it, but the piss break moment in the show, I'm going to tell you right now, they missed out on probably some really good storytelling from the Bunny and Anna Jay coming up as a wrestler. Her selling isn't that great, so I will say that it's not that good. But she's coming up as
better.
A wrestler. Oh, she's
better
way better
than it used to be.
Oh, so much. When she was that happy-go-lucker Zatanna, like, friggin' cosplayer. That was terrible. Then of course, Britt Baker and Ruby Soho stole the show.
Masterclass.
Yeah, they were.
In promos. That was just amazing.
Agreed. And that's how you do a promo. That's how you throw it to the promo in the ring.
Yeah, yeah.
And they did a good job. They did a good job. Tony Schiavone stood there and not miming along to the words. So obviously this wasn't a segment that they had already rehearsed.
Well, he was off camera, so maybe they learned
not to put him on camera.
Yeah.
Honestly, it was great. Taz and Jericho and Excalibur. And Ricky Starks was on commentary for the majority of the night. Just, you know, even though they're trying to work out this four-man table, which is weird for me, the four-man table, but they're doing an okay job because Excalibur gets to be the straight man throughout the whole thing. So I do like it because Excalibur is the play-by-play, and I love that stuff.
See, and I don't really pay attention to the four-man, three-man, two-man. It could be one man. I probably would not pay as much of attention, which is why I don't know what moves are called, because I'm too much of a, oh my God, did they just hurt their neck, their back, their arm, their leg, to even worry about what it was called. Did it hurt was really what I was more concerned about. So, you know, it was good. I don't really have a problem with the four-man. What I liked about the show was the entire show. Really, front to back, I thought it was a really good show. It's an hour long, super fast, very entertaining. If you're going to get into wrestling again, I recommend AEW first and foremost. Secondly, maybe just start off with Rampage and do the hour long, get acquainted. Maybe start off with their YouTube channel, Dark, and go from there. But I, front to back, I liked the entire, I loved, really, really, really loved the Ruby Soho, Britt Baker. That I think was my top moment because I thought it was really well done.
Agreed. And so we both agree that the main event match of Miro versus Fuego del Sol was good. It was a good ending.
It's like when you watch a show and the last scene kind of leads you into the next show. That's what I feel like that match always kind of does.
But you don't mean like a cliffhanger?
No, like it just goes, oh gosh, that was good. I wonder what's going to happen next.
Got it.
You know,
got it.
Whereas, like it's a period at the end of a.
So like most shows will give you that little bit sort of in the middle or at the beginning to go, ooh, let's stick around. This closes it. So you go, maybe we'll come back next week and see what's
I'll
up.
I'll come back next week and see what's up. I mean, it's an hour show. I think next week is
two hours. It's 2 hours. It's the Grand Slam. Two hours.
So
that one's going to be hard to do. We will probably, we're going to do that one. Because it's a 2-hour show. We'll do that one. That just makes sense.
So you're going to get a special podcast.
Yeah.
Extra.
We're not putting that out until Thursday evening because we're probably not going to do that until.
Well, Rampage is Friday, so that would be Saturday.
Saturday. We'll probably not do that until Saturday evening is what I'm saying. That'll take a little while longer to do because it's going to be late. It won't be done until midnight. So, yeah, that one's going to need a little rest.
Well, I want to say thank you for joining us, for putting up with us. We will get better. I hope you enjoyed.
I will get better. Adelaide is obviously very good.
Send emails or comments on what you think we can add or change. We will watch and look for those and address them accordingly.
Absolutely. Now, for Adelaide Laurie and myself, Javier Augusto, this has been
We Like What We Like.
Thank you. Good night.